Hashem is eager to start the Sefer Achshavos HaAvreichim. The Rebbe wanted us to first learn Chavos HaTalmidim. I'm sure he wanted us to learn it and to review it at least 3 or 4 times and to begin to put it to use, to practice. And I hope that he'll be mindful that most of us are not holding by Madrigas that he probably would have expected, but that he's having nachas that we're trying to go through his swarm. Now, Shos Avreichim, it's hard to translate what that means, to train, to prepare young men. Shos Avreichim, which has not been translated into English, is a more advanced stage in the Rebbe's program for developing Jews who are able to experience a closeness to Hashem is Baruch Hu. In the Avodas Hashem, that the Avodas Hashem should be with Masikus, with sweetness, that the Avodas Hashem should be with Hergish, with Chamimus, with warmth. As you'll see, it's truly remarkable in all of the Rebbe's form. Developing, there'll be ideas here, there'll be inyan that we're familiar with from the earlier form, but here they're developed more in Chassidus. And Bezah Hashem, we'll do our best to try to understand what the Rebbe is saying. So let's begin. B'amen naschil ha'achshav esan. Mudah zayis b'svarim kedoshim she'tzadikim kedoshi Yisrael Ba'alei HaKabbalah Chen kedoshi achsidim oivdei Hashem derech kedoshenu v'al shem tov v'talmidiv zatzal Darchi avoides kodshom darchi nevi Hashem heim. This is something that we find in all of the Rebbe's svarim. He begins by telling us that the tzaddikim, our holy ones, who are the masters of Kabbalah, and the chassidim, who served Hashem, and serve Hashem, and the derech of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and the talmidei of Baal Shem Tov, their way of avodas Hashem is a continuation into our times of the way that the Nevi'im served Hashem. So, Darchei Nevi'a Hashem Heim. That the way of the tzaddikim is not something that, and the Talmid Baal Shem Tov, is not something that they created, that they thought of. It's a hemshech of the lifestyle of the Navi, of the Nevi'im. And the Darchei HaVaida of the Nevi'im, where Yiddishkeit was an intense experience, an intense emotional experience, not just an intellectual experience, not just a question of what a person understands, but an emotional experience of being attached to the Hergish to Hashem Ishkan. Zoya Kodesh Pashas Truma, Om Rabbi Yaakov Al-Atzmai, Vano Man Yoiv Lesa'usa Daruach Kodesh Al-Mehaviv Ganeviyah Mehemni Talmidah Rabbi Shem Ba'yachoy, Diloyim Satayin Zoyin Minei. What an amazing lotion. Adkan L'Shayne HaKodesh. So Rabbi Yaakov says, Nazar Kodesh, and myself, Va'ano, man yoiv li esarusa de ruach kodesho, who gave me this esarus of ruach hakodesh, that I should be amongst the nevi'e mehemne, the faithful and true nevi'im of the talmidim of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. shall the Lord Nisatoin Zoimine, that the higher, those above and those below, are all trembling in his presence. Hainu, Shin Bivisnusa, his Pali al Atzmai. Rabbi Yaakov in his humility was bewildered. He was wondering. His Pali al Atzmai, his Zocha, that how did I have this chus? Who gave me this Isiris of Ruach HaKadosh to seek out Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? But the way that he speaks about this, Shazach has been Neviye Mehem Netamli Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, to be among the faithful prophets, Neviye Mehem Ne, of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Shel Yonim Sachten Mizdaz and Mimenu, that all those above and all below are trembling because of the greatness of Rabbi Shimon. The Sefer HaKadosh Mor V'Shemesh Parshas V'Yigash or Parshas V'Yisa Gamal Tzadikim Yidur Dor Ovdi Hashem Asher B'derech Adol Shem Tov Zatzal Shadarach HaKadoshim Darach Nevi Hashem Heim Ayin Shem. And the Mor V'Shemesh explains in V'Yigash that the way of the Tzadikim, the Ovdi Hashem, in the Derech Adol Shem Tov, are continuing in the pathways of the Nevi'im from the earlier times. V'hine ha-Nevi'im ha-Kedoshim gam ba'alei ha-Zer ha-Kadosh ha-Ri ha-Bal Shem Tov ha-Talmidei Zatzal. All of these holy Nevi'im and the Tzadikim from the Zer ha-Kadosh and Ha-Ri Zal, the Bal Shem Tov and the Talmidei Bal Shem Tov, Malachei Kel. These are mamish. These are people who, like the Baal Tanya said about Shlomo Kalina, the Baal Tanya said in Rav Shlomo Kalina that he was always three tvachim off the ground. Tanya used to see. Tanya saw that Rav Shlomo Kalina was not on the ground. He was three tvachim off the ground. I don't know what that means. Like if you went underneath, you know, like we probably want to do that, like run a test or something. But Tanya saw such a thing, that Rav Shlomo Kalina was not on the ground. That he saw that. How could he have seen Rav Shlomo Kalina? Could he have seen Rav Aaron Kalina? Could he have seen Rav Shlomo Kalina? Unless it was Netanya, it was Netanya, so maybe it was Rav Aaron Kalina. That he was three tefachim off the ground. What that means is that he looked to everybody else like he was on the ground, just like the rest of the world. And the Baal Tanya said he wasn't on the ground. Malachi Kel, these are people who are angelic people, mamish angels of Hashem. Mitonu Nisgovim. Mitonu Nisgovim, they're beyond our understanding. We can't understand these tzaddikim. These are Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, certainly we have not a sug of the Ari HaKadosh and the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The Darkam Derech HaKadosh HaShemaimer Mi'itonu Pela. And their way, their heavenly way of serving Hashem Baruch is a wonder to us. We don't have like the nerve to say that we could rise up to such madrigas and to be like them, angels of Hashem. Still, it's our obligation, we're longing to fulfill this obligation we have. It's an obligation to try to serve Hashem in this pure and true way, with all of our limbs, with our entire body and soul, the whole chut migufeinu, and every single fiber of our bodies, every single chut. That there shouldn't be, God forbid, one little spark of our souls or one tiny little piece of our bodies that are excluded from Kedushas Hashem, that are outside of the realm of serving the Baruch Hu, Kedushas Hashem, and a malam akifas on it that fills us, Kedushas Hashem, which fills us and which surrounds us. The Gamzais. Shaloi dai lanu liyais rak kevi ben shivcha. I once told Yemaisa that from Gersh and Hanach Radzina, the grandson of the Yishbitz of the Meir Shiloh, Rav Gershon Hanukh was a very, very strong person, was a takif. And even as a child, he was a genius of geniuses, I mean, in learning, in chassidus, in Kabbalah, and everything, from the time that he was a little boy. And I once told you that there was a maisa that Rav Gershon Hanukh, there was a little bridge that they used to have, these like little wooden things with strings on their sides to walk over, but they were going to a mikveh or something to go tayel. And there was an old yid there, was an old chassid that was taking a long time crossing, holding on to both things, and Rav Gershon Hanukh wanted to go. And he was a little boy. And finally, you know, he was a strong natured child. And he finally said to him like something like, you know, Zayda, you know, let other people through. So the old man was unbelievably offended by that. What kind of chutzpah? And he told him, you're a chutzif. He says, I'm an old man. I'm a chutzif. How can you talk like that? So Gersha Hanukh said, so what? He's like such a he said, I'm a chutzpah. He said that my father's the rabbi. My father's the rabbi. So the old man couldn't believe it. He's, and it says different schoys that so he says he couldn't. He went to the rabbi. The old man went to the rabbi, and I remember Gershon Hanukh was also there, and he said how could it be that your grandson said such a thing, and he called him, or your son said such a thing. The Beis Yaakov had called him and said, how do you say such a thing? He said, it's not true that you're not the rabbi. He said, not. He says, so what does it mean that I'm the rabbi? So what, I'm the rabbi? You have an achrayus. But then the lashon was that he used is that the rabbi was quiet. It says that Rabbi Gershon Hanukh was quiet. And then it said that, not Rabbi Gershon Hanukh, the father, the Beis Yaakov was quiet. And he became like, he came into a state of dveikus. And he said, the emes is that as long as a person is alive, there's no, it didn't have to do any more crossing the bridge. That was, he said, as long as a person is alive, if I'm still alive, the emes is that if I want to badly enough, I could become bigger than Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, if I would want to. In other words, he was saying, the old man was saying, so what, your father? He said, my father's there. So when the Beis Yaakov heard this, the Beis Yaakov was saying what a person could be, and the godless that a person could reach makes him such a great person. If he would want to, he could be. He said, even as long as I'm alive, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai reached Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is dead. I'm still alive, and if I would want to badly enough, I could be bigger than Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is an excuse for pushing, you know, an old man. But that's what the Beis Yaakov was saying, such a lashon, that what a person could be if he had the she'ifas to be. The Rebbe saying is that we don't understand these people. We don't understand their madrigas. And he says, Shleidailan Elias Rak Ke'evet Ben Shivcha. But one thing we know for sure, that Shleidailan Elias Rak Ke'evet Ben Shivcha, we can't go through our lives. We can't go through our lives, he says, just being satisfied with serving Hashem. Like Ke'evet Ben Shivcha, Sha'evet Gamke Lamalach. The king has many, many servants. And he has people who are close to him. And then he has all the way down the lowest of the servants. Rak Shabbatosi Acha Harichayim, Harchik Min HaMelech. There are those who work for the king, but they never ever see the king. They work for him. They're under his employment. But they never in their lives get to see the king. They have some job, you know, Acha Harichayim, you know, by the grindstone, by the mill, but they have some kind of a job, but they never, ever, ever see the king. He says, as Devarv Ein L'Shemeya, this person works for the king. He never saw the king, he doesn't see the king, he doesn't hear anything from the king, he never hears the king. Umizivai Ein Anana Umisaneg, and therefore he never enjoys the splendor of being in his presence. even though he works for the king. So the Rebbe is saying the same thing about us. You can go your whole life, each and every one of us, we're all working for the king, and we all keep mitzvahs, and we try to stay away from affairs, but we have some sort of a place in the palace that's really, really a place where you never ever meet the king, you never hear from him, you never experience his presence, you never enjoy his presence. You just, there's an avodas avid, which is also madrega, but it's without ever hearing from or seeing. Avodashi beskiras hamayach v'timtum halayf. A person can still work for the king, but his mind is shut and his heart is dull, even though he works for the king. But our desire, our longing, is that we should be a child of Hashem. That we should be the Baruch Shalom's child. We should be his children. That when we serve Hashem as Baruch, hein b'tayru tefillah, v'hein b'shar ha-mitzvahs, whether it's in learning, whether it's in davening, in all mitzvahs, nargish es hiskarvuseinu l'Hashem, that we should feel a closeness to the Baruch Shalom. Not like some eved that's acha harechayim, a servant that has some menial job that never has a shaykhus, doesn't have any shaykhus to the king, never met the king or heard the king. We want to be Hashem's children, that in all of our learning and all of our diving and all of our mitzvahs, that we should feel a closeness, we should be in his inner circle. Nargish is karvuseinu l'Hashem. V'kamay ha-ben shesameach l'kras oviv achrei shalei ra'ohu kamashanim. And just like a child who rejoices to see his father, to be with his father, after not having seen him for some years. V'achrei shenis'ane b'gagum g'doylem al oviv. And after feeling the pain of missing his father so much for so long, kein gam anachnu nishtoikek v'nizgagei elav yisbarach. So too, we should be filled with such a longing. U'bezoya kodesh trum hi'isa. You see that one of the milas of this edition is that it has a translation from the Lashon of the Aramis, the Aramaic, into the Hebrew, so we can look straight into the brackets. Underneath it says the translation of the piece of the Zohar. U'me'ayin, a few lines down. So it says in the Zohar Kodesh in Parshas Truma, U'me'ayin yoydim be'ish she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes abay v'ayisid diros abay. I once mentioned, you remember the former mayor of New York, Mayor Koch, he used to always say, how am I doing? You remember, he used to ask the Olam, how am I doing? So a person wants to know very much, how is he doing? And if we could ask the Baruch Shalom, how am I doing? Would we like to ask the Baruch Shalom, how am I doing? Imagine, if it were possible to ask the Baruch Shalom, no, I'm 25 years old, 30 years old, 50 years old, 6 years, how am I doing? Right? Comes to a person's birthday, Chesmen HaNefesh, that the Baruch Shalom has had him in the world for such and such amount of years. So forget about cakes and little party favors. How am I doing? That's the Baruch Shalom, how am I doing? On the Rebbe's 40th birthday, we learned from the beginning, and we learned it inside ourselves, and Savas Zeros on this 40th birthday, the Rebbe said that he wants to be Megar, he wants to convert, he wants to become a Jew. Right, so all of us are shocked by that. That he was on such a long madrega, that he would want to convert to become a Jew and Baruch Hashem Yid. Right? And the Rebbe said himself that he looks at himself and he says, Maybe I need to learn more? What should I be makabel upon myself? Should I learn more? So he says, Baruch Hashem, I don't waste any time. And he said that about davening. So what about my davening? He says, no, I do the best I can. Can you imagine to say such a thing? So therefore, what do I want to be makabel myself? So he says, I want to be makabel upon myself to be Magai. I want to be Yid. So a person wants to know. The Zohar HaKadosh is saying, if you want to know, how are you doing? Uman yaydin v'ish, Shekadosh Baruch writes about you. A person wants to know, Rebbeinu Shalom, are you happy with me? How do you feel about me, Rebbeinu Shalom? So the Zohar gives a formula. It's a little bit unnerving and unsettling. The Zohar says, "Amayin yoidim v'ish HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes about v'aisa divasa by." How does a person know that the Baruch Shalom is that the Baruch Shalom is happy with him, and that the Baruch Shalom dwells within this person? Kasherayim shevet sinai shel ha'ish lirdai for l'shtadl acha HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'libay u'benafshay u'brit sinai. When this, when a person has a rotzen, has a will and a desire and a longing to be raydev, to pursue Hashem, to be mishtadl, to run after Hashem is baruch with his heart, with his soul, and all of his rotzen and all his will, then yoidim shebevadai shoyer by hashchina. Then it is clear that the shechina is attached to this person. Zois emeris, shirak mi shebirt sinai belibay venav sheroide from mishtadla mishtakik eilad yisbarach karav hu l'asham eshchina sharabai. Of course, every Jew has a chelik l'kam yimal. Every Jew has within, we all have within us a chelik l'kam yimal. We all have elokus within us. But how does one know that he's close to the Baruch Shalom? That he's part of Hashem's, of Hashem's, that he's one of Hashem's kraivim, he's in Hashem's Baruch's inner circle. How does one know that? Only if he feels within himself his shtaikikus, a longing to grow closer to Hashem. That the Zohar Kodesh is a simon of how the person is doing. Ubishas avadaseinu nargish es ritzas nafshenu lakras aviha. That at least at the time that we're serving Hashem Zibarach, we should feel our souls running to our Father, running to Him. Shemiz gagaz olav kol hayayim kol halayla. That all day and night that we feel within us a longing for Hashem Zibarach. This entire Sefer, Hashem Zibarach, is going to be teaching us how to develop these feelings, how to develop these kind of feelings. That's what the Sefer is, what the entire Sefer is about from beginning to end. How do we develop these feelings? Ritza, running to Hashem in the Misa and feeling to melt in His presence. The Misa sanefesh b'shtab chusel cheka v'yesh b'shamayim. The melting of the soul, pouring itself out into the embrace of our Father in Shemayim. V'loy b'sfilah v'avayda b'levad. And the tachlis is not only at the time of davening and when we're doing mitzvahs. Nargish is karvusen al Hashem. That we should feel a closeness and a delight being with Him. Ragam tamid, always. Kimisha b'chol hayam hedyetu. Any person, because a person who all day long is a hedyet, is just like a regular guy, a plain guy. U'b'chol sha'isav nafshei kvur b'machtzelis shalkan mishtusim. And for the rest of the day, not talking about by davening, but for the rest of the day, his soul is buried under a, like a mat, under a covering of shtusim, of silliness, of an Irishkeit. It could be an Irishkeit that he's being paid $500,000 for, also it's an Irishkeit. I remember once when I was, when we were kids, we went on a class trip. When we were really small, they used to, before Arafat was invited to the United Nations, they used to take us there. You know, in those days when Jews thought the United Nations was like was a good place. But I remember we once had a social studies trip to the, is that called like the Kamadi? You know where they scream? They stand there like in this hole and they scream?
Kamadi exchange.
It wasn't a regular stock exchange. We went there too. Kamadi's. It's in the same neighborhood. We walked, I remember. Kamadi's exchange. And they took us there, and they didn't explain, like, you know, our teacher didn't care at all about it. It was just trying to get off, just like we were, like, you know, some wise guy. So, but I remember, like, everybody screaming out stuff. Screaming, you know, what are they screaming? Numbers are up. I don't know what they're screaming. I don't know what they're talking. And things like about pig barrels and, I don't know, all kinds of products on the wall, and people yelling and screaming from this hole, like this thing, this sunken piece of ground, everybody screaming and yelling. And if anybody would look at that, anybody look at that, like from the outside, that I mean, like me, I was just a kid, and I think they're crazy, a bunch of Mishagoyim. Mom is crazy. But nobody would say, no intelligent person that understands Wall Street would say that they're crazy. They would say these are unbelievably talented chashuv people that are making lots of money and that they're Isaac and, you know, in Yishuv Ha'olam, that they're busy with the Yishuv Ha'olam. Right? But when the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, before he was known as the Baal Shem Tov, and he was in a place and there was a Baal Tshuva that was during davening was jumping and moving his arms and screaming, and the people there were telling him to be quiet, and they were making fun of him, and the Baal Shem Tov told the people that when somebody is drowning, that's how he is. When a person is drowning, they scream and they're flailing their arms and they're trying to get out, that they shouldn't drown. So that's how a person is in this world. So the Rebbe is saying that if somebody the whole day is buried, you know, is in some kind of a pit, and he's buried in all kinds of shtusim, and even it could be like choshev shtusim, like people look at it like it's important. I'm hoping that every now and then, one of those people, when they're in there, I guess they still do that, or maybe that's the computers, they still do that? It's still Baal Peh. So, I don't know how they get anything done. I just never read about like how it works, but I'm sure that every now and then a person must stop and ask himself, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I spend my whole life screaming from a hole in the ground, you know, which is probably what he's going to do after he dies too. And it's just, it's still some, so a person has to make a panosa, but you have to stop every now and then. It certainly is a mitzvah deraisa for a person to stop every now and then while he's in the middle of doing all of these things and to remember that this is part of this is a klola, this is a shtus. You know, and what are you gonna do? Like it says in the Torah, when they were collecting the money, it's shatu ha'am, right? Shatu ha'am. It says in the Psalm, they went gathering. They went like this to go out collecting. So Chazal say it's shatu is a lashon of shtus. That the fact that we have to go out collecting money, it's a shtus. It's crazy. So he says that. What happens to the other person that the entire day that he's buried in all kinds of shtusim, in all kinds of shtuyot, in all kinds of silliness and narishke? Gam b'terosu tfilosu v'vadosu hedyetu. He says then all of a sudden it's not so pashut that the guy is a shaita the whole day. He doesn't think about Hashem the whole day, and then when it comes to davening, then for a few minutes he thinks. Then he sits down to learn, it's a few minutes that he's able to think that there's a Baruch Shalom. He's doing a mitzvah. But the whole day, the rest of the day, he doesn't think at all about Hashem. He's just lost in all his shtusim. He says, then gam b'terosu tfilosu v'avadosu hed yetu. Then even his davening, his learning, his mitzvahs, it's also a hed yet. I mean, it's not a high madrig, he's a regular person. The gam b'shas avodos avodas hakodesh, and even at the time that he's serving Hashem in his avodas hakodesh, nafshei lo yisokim chas v'shalom. It's very hard to switch on and to switch off, even though there's certainly a madrega. We've spoken many times. It's a madrega. It's a madrega that a person stops what he's doing and he gives a krechs and he tries to daven a mincha, but. The Rebbe says here that it's very hard that if all day long you're shut down spiritually, all day long you're just not there at all. Your heart is closed. Everything is shut. The emotions are shut. It's very hard that all of a sudden you come to davening and to turn a switch and to feel that way. It's very hard. The tzaddikim, the time of Chazal, used to prepare. That's the way of the Nevi'im, right? They used to prepare. And he's to prepare for an hour before that. We know the Hachanis. Reb Leibel Eger and the whole machloik is against Reb Leibel Eger. And Reb Leibel Eger, we learned about and we spoke about, Reb Leibel Eger was a mile, was an amazing mile, big tzaddik. And Reb Leibel Eger, there was a whole machloik, there was a whole redif against Reb Leibel Eger, because he used to, when he was the mile, so he was making Hachanis all day long, and he would actually do the bris just a few minutes before Shkia. Can you imagine? Like the lox and bagels are ready at 7 o'clock in the morning, and the Leibel Eger is at 7 o'clock at night. All day long he was making hachanis. He was in his room, and he would go to the mikveh a few times back and forth during the day, making hachanis when he would be the mar. So there's a whole thing going on. The guy, he's a magdimin and the whole thing, and his mishpacha, the cousins, the shevet, you know, he was Rabbi Kiveg, his grandson. So he had very good family, you know. So the shevet sofer, you know, they were all writing letters. It was a big union when we learned about Rabbi Blaga. And you know how he threw the bris? Most often he was sandik and moil. Try doing that. Yeah, but he has help. Yeah, there are people that hold. He doesn't do them. There are people that hold. They're helping. He does it, but everybody's helping. The baby leggies take the baby. After a whole day, after 12 hours, like hachanis, he would take the baby and he would throw the talus over his head, and it was all done in 30 seconds. Finished, and he would give back. Memorial Sandek Talus. Kriya Shayim Brachas, 30 seconds. That's after 12 hours, mikveh, and tefillahs, and tehillim, and bakashas, and crying, and all kinds of avodah that was shaking the whole universe, and there came b'shas ma'isa, 30 seconds. But in those 30 seconds, it was like atomic energy. It was all compressed into the 30 seconds of his avodah. We don't know what that means, achanis. To make achanah for mitzvah. Achana for mitzvah. Try to you know, announce that in the daily minyanim we're going to now have that if you want to be part of this minyan you have to come at least an hour before to prepare. No one's allowed into davening unless they come an hour before, and the olim is upset because they're trying to come an hour into davening, and now they're not letting in unless they come an hour before to make achanas. You don't even know what it means to make hachanis. What am I supposed to do? We're going to learn about that. How does one machshir oneself? That's the means hachshar savreich. How you machshir yourself to have a hergish for Hashem is bar. And what does it mean? What are the hachanis that a person can make? What the Rebbe is saying is that if a person's heart and soul are closed the entire day, and then you just like pop into a mincha, you pop into a ma'ariv, you open a sefer for a few minutes, it's very hard that you should be doing that like a child. And not like just some Eved Acha Harechaim. It's a good thing, thank God, you're davening. It's a big thing. And that you're opening a sefer, it's a very chosh of a thing. But Sof Kol Sof, the Rebbe says that we want to go our entire lives like some Eved Acha Harechaim. Some like some Eved never sees the king, never speaks to the king, never hears from the king. Even though there's a mile, there's a big madrega to being an Eved of the king. And sometimes it's even a bigger madrega, which we'll talk about, when it's an Avdus in such a way. But is that the tachlis of our Avodas Hashem? It's the tachlis of our Avodas Hashem. This amazing little sefer that I'm giving now, we're learning in the Shir on Tuesday nights with the women, Spilvavi Mishkan Evan, this hafadik little sefer. It's all in this inyan also of developing a relationship with the Baruch Shalom. It sounds like it's the most obvious thing in being a Jew, to develop a relationship with Hashem. But we've lost that way, which was the way of the Nevi'im, which was the way of the Balei Hazor and the Mekubalim, and the way of the Talmidei Baal Shem. That was the way. To reach a madrega of Devekis, of attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rebbe is saying that it could be that Napshalei Sokim Chas Hashem. If the whole day your soul is dormant, is sitting, lying beneath this covering, so then even when you're diving, your soul is still lying there. It's not coming out. V'chol hayayim tzarech yishliyos Yehudi. It sounds like such a simple sentence. V'chol hayayim tzarech yishliyos Yehudi. You have to be a yid the entire day. Every single second of the day you're a yid. What you talk about, how you talk, how you move, where you are, how your eyes, how you hold yourself, every single second of the day. V'chol hayayim tzarech yishliyos Yehudi. V'chol hayayim tzarech yishliyos karvei l'Yisborach. And the entire day you have to be close to him. Pam b'yoyseh yisrayim was upam b'pachas ma'at. It's true. There are moments, there are times of the day where there's more hisraimimus, where there's a greater excitement and feeling of closeness. And sometimes it's less. Yehudi hu tamid, but you're always a yid. V'gam b'chinas ben l'Kadosh Baruch Hu tamid yiyah. And you remember every single second that you're Hashem's child. that you're a son of Hashem Yisbarach. Yom Chinas Ben Lakadosh Baruch Hu Tamid Yiyah V'chol Ma'aseinu B'Nefesh Tihiyanu. So therefore everything that we do is benefesh, it's heartsig, it's neshamizdik, it's filled with nefesh, it's filled with ruach and neshama, everything that we do. When you're in the presence of a tzaddik, right? Have any of you ever had the schus, let's say, to go into the Amshnava in Yerushalayim? Any of you been by the Amshnava? You've been to the Amshnava. It's not like the Amshnava says, hey, how you doing? Even though he asks you, he wants to know how you're doing. It's a whole thing. It's a whole avoida to ask a person how he's doing. And every single thing is with his structures and with his spilas. It's with his structures and with his spilas that we don't even know about, like when we're davening. Such a his structures. And when I was there last time, and there was a person who wasn't well, that when I had been to him the year before, I asked him to daven, and then he asked me how that person was doing, and I said that I never told the Rebbe the person passed away. He started like to burst out crying and screaming. He never met the person. It's like one of those names that we see, you know, posted, and you try to say a Jewish word, you know, to help the person, you say a Kapitel Tillim. He started walking back and forth crying. He said, a young person, and I davened, and I didn't know, and he was crying. It was like a whole thing. It's everything is benefish. Everything, I mean, we can't understand, like you said before about these big people, they don't understand these madrigas. The person makes a bracha. I was zeichet to hear on a number of occasions of Shom Shvadron when he made a bracha. He used to give him, you know, when he said a shmuz, a glass of water, and he made a shahakal. After that, you don't have to hear the shmuz anymore. Everybody was ready to go home. Yeah, the way he makes a bracha. He makes an Asher Yotzer, a Ptsimei, brought him here. So I go downstairs, I go to and I wait outside for him. So Tzimei, when he comes out from the bathroom, he puts on his coat, he puts on a gartel to make an Asher Yotzer. Puts on the hat, he washes the hands, and he's like jumping. Asher Yotzer, it's something, you know, it's with such a hysteroxis. That it's beyond their understanding how a human being could be kept inside a body like that. Which is the Darach HaNeviim, that we see how when a person, like we see from the Gemara, we see from the Rambam, but we see from Nach, the experience of Nevuah, how it shattered the person physically. Okay, so we're not holding by these madrigas. We're talking about being conscious and aware and feeling his presence. The Rebbe says that V'kol ma'aseinu b'nefesh tiyana. See, it's very, very hard when we talk nowadays, when we try to talk about how could you make it, what new program is there that there should be quiet during davening? What new program can they come up with? I have people calling me, rabbis that call me from different shuls, asking me that all the time. First they say, is it true that there's no talking in shul? I always say something like, now, 4 years ago, there was somebody by my tov. I heard somebody said something. Just to get them like scared, and I say that, they go, wow. I said, we're trying. No, it's not perfect. We're trying. I'm trying. I'm not. I also sometimes slip, but we're all trying. That's true that we're trying. So then, I get like some rabbi, you know, whatever, place from some city somewhere. So say, how do you do that? What kind of, you know, what do you have? So they start asking me, is there some sort of there's some sort of program? How do you get to that? And I said, no, there's no program like that. If Jews want to daven, then they're too busy davening. Then they don't want to talk. And if Jews love to daven and they want to be close to Hashem, then talking is silly. And if people don't want to experience closeness to Hashem, and that's not what they're trying to do in shul, so then it's silly not to talk.
Because why would a person stand around mumbling, moving his lips for 2-3 hours on the Shabbos? You know, it looks a little bit silly. It's a little bit crazy. So if a person, I said, if somebody wants to be close to Hashem, so that's an important thing to him. So then he doesn't want to talk. Then talking seems to be a ridiculous thing. If a person isn't interested in Hashem as a Baruch, then it sounds crazy not to talk. And I said that the Indian of, there's no program. The Indian that with you and your Chavarim there, wherever you are, and you know, in Ado or whatever these places are, you and your Chavarim, you know, it's just an avoda to learn this from a Kadosh, to try to dive in and to. What is there? There's some kind of a. Well, could you make a program for grown-ups to tell grown-ups how to behave? How do you do that? I don't know. I mean, you're supposed to make all kinds of penalties and fines and put someone like in the box, like in, you know, in hockey, you know, he gets to sit and take him out. They should make that. You imagine if they had that in shul, like they had like a penalty box in shul. They can put you next to the rabbi and talk. No, no. They have like a penalty box.
There wouldn't be a minion.
There wouldn't be a minion. No, you still counting the minion. But there'd be like a penalty box, you know, and then like after, you know, whatever's like your 5 minutes, they give you like a pat on the back and you go back into davening. You try to What are you gonna do? They're adults. If people don't want to be close to Hashem is Baruch and they're not interested in Hashem is Baruch, then what are you gonna do? You're gonna scream and yell and shushka, it's Yachmanis. But that's the problem. If a person's davening is not with nefesh, ruach, and neshama, so then he becomes so completely, completely bored by that. Not only is it boring, it's torture for people. It's torture to sit for hours like that. So a person's looking for something to do. B'chol ma'aseinu b'nefesh tiyana. The acre is that, but he's talking not only by davening, he's talking about the stam. Everything that we do should be benefish. And we're thinking, how could that be? He's talking about people going to work also. He's not talking about everybody that's just sitting and learning. That what we're doing is should be benefish. That our thoughts should always be clear. So that our mind should be strong and attached to holiness. Always. And he says, then we can be zeicha that our souls, our nafshenu, will be so much in charge of our chushim, of our senses. That not only will our senses not confuse or mislead or seduce our way of thinking. In other words, the Rebbe saying is, if a person's not close to Hashem Yisbarach during the course of any day, and he could, and the Rebbe wasn't talking about, you know, New York and Tavshin Samech Hay, but if a person is not close to Hashem, then his senses, his desires, are constantly being drawn after things of this world, and if he's still in the ball game, then he's trying very much not to think about the wrong things. He wants very much not to think about the wrong things. A person sitting in his office, and there are things that are going on. There are people that are there that he shouldn't be thinking about or looking at, and it's a struggle not to think, not to have these things on your mind. So the Rebbe says that we're going to learn how to serve Hashem Yisbarach in such a way that since your mind is always attached to him, and since everything that you're doing is benefish, is with your soul, that not only will your chushim, with your physical senses, not be drawing you away from, you know, into things that are wrong, or that are inappropriate, and your senses are not going to say, because a person's taivas are always telling him, Olam HaTaraya, listen, you're a human being. Olam HaTaraya. And there's a world out there. Take a look. V'geshem atamargish. You're a physical human being. What do you? That's what you feel. Olam atiroy geshem atamargish. You can't help that. You're a normal person. That's what the taiv is. That's what a person tells oneself. That a person feels I don't have a bechira. My chushim, my senses are schlepping me into all kinds of crazy things. Why? What am I going to do? Like the Rav Shitzer said, the problem is, he says that the Shevet Musar is in a sefer, but the Shuk, but the marketplace is in the marketplace. He says that's a problem. He says the Sfarim are very beautiful, and the Sfarim tell us all about Gehenna, what's going to happen. You know, you're going to get in trouble if you do bad things. He says, but the problem is that's on a shelf in the Beis Medrash. But when I go to the street, he says if the Shevet Musar was in the street, was in the Shuk, and the Shuk was someplace on a shelf with dust on it, then I'd be okay. The Rav Shitzer said the problem is that the safe is on a shelf and the Shuk is a Shuk. You know, that's a problem. And the world is saying, Oilam HaTeroya, Geshem HaTemargish.
Hashem made it this way for a very good reason. Which is...
Everything Hashem does is for a good reason.
I know, I'm trying to figure out what... Because it's there, but it must be a very good reason. Why? Because so we battle?
Okay, Baruch Hashem.
Is that it?
That's exactly it. Right, we're not going to go to. I mean, the question of why does the Baruch Shem want this to be in that? So that's not what we're talking about now. So let's try to be attached to what we're talking about. The whole inyan of this parasha of Yosef HaTzadik is that the Baruch Shem is saying that the inyan of a yid to be an ish matzliach is to be a person that's involved in struggling with nisyanus. That's what it means. Yosef HaTzadik was called a matzliach. Right, he was a successful person. That's a funny thing, because if you look at what was going on in this parasha with Yosef HaTzadik, you would say that doesn't look like so much success to me. Maybe next parasha things start to go well. But in this parasha it says he was an ish matzliach. It doesn't look like he's having such gevaldige hatzlacha. I mean, what happened to him and what he's been put through, it's unbelievable. And if it were any of us, we would say I'm not having any hatzlacha at all. What kind of hatzlacha is it to be to be stuck in the house in such a terrible matzav, and to go through that, and then to be thrown into jail, and then before that, but he went through all this stuff, and the Torah says to him, why he's such an ish matzliach. So everyone was thinking, you know, Yosef, if you keep that hatzlacha, I'll take my hatzlacha. It's not my idea of hatzlacha. So what's the Baruch Shalom telling us by calling him a matzliach? So if we learn that as little children in a silly way, we think that, you know, that because the guy liked him. So that's hatzlacha. That's not hatzlacha, the guy likes you. So what does it mean, he's an ish matzliach? An ish matzliach means that a yid is in a world filled with nisyanus, and he's trying to be mezgaber. He's trying to do his best. That's what it means to be an ish matzliach. That's what you see. The whole inyan of this parasha, the whole parasha is saying that a yid that's in the melchama is a matzliach. Hatzlach is not that things always go your way. That's not what's called hatzlach, that everything goes my way. Hatzlach is, how do I act when things are not going my way? And the Baruch Shalom, I mean, you'll forgive me, but I'm sure you were asking, because of his spiral, it's not that you don't know why the Baruch Shalom sent us into this world. Why do we have to come into this world at all? Why didn't the Shamas remain in the higher world? And then everybody could say, what gevaldig hatzlach and the Shamas are having, that's not hatzlach to be in the higher world. Hatzlach is to be in this world that's filled with Ashes Potipharas, that's filled with these wives of Potiphar, that's filled with Nechashim and Akrabim, and to be a Yid Afal Pichen, that's called Hatzlach. That's what it means to be Nish Matzliach. And when you have a person that says, I am having such a Yetzahara, and I'm having such an Nisyanis, and it's so hard for me, I'm such a Lo Yitzlach, then you have to give that person a slap and say, what do you mean? That's Davka Nish Matzliach. To be mezgaber and to fight, and okay, sometimes a person has a bad day, a bad moment, but the ikur is to be in the milchama. That's called hatzlach. That's an ish matzliach, to be in the milchama. So we got so used to thinking that when something goes our way, that's a siman that we're doing well. That's bechlal not how the Baruch Shalom measures things. And that's not how it is. It's to want to do, and to want to be mezgaber, and to recognize that these are things that we have to mezgaber on. The Rebbe says that if we are able to live in this way, well, everything is done with this machshav, it's done with nefesh, ruach, and neshama, then not only will we not be pulled into this confusion of Olam HaTeroi, the Geshem HaTamargish. What do you want? You're a human being. You know, you have to look. You have no choice but to look. You have no choice but to look. You're a human being. And that's what the whole world says. The whole world says, what do you mean? You're a human being. You're a normal person. A normal person has to do these things. How can you not do these things? That people are not... This is because it used to be at least people had a busha, they were a little bit embarrassed. They're a little bit embarrassed. You could have now a governor in the United States that can get up and not even say, like, it's not even the busha to say that he's icing all kinds of disgusting things. And like, you know, and he says, you know, I should have said so earlier, there's nothing, it's not really a busha. He's not embarrassed at all. Other Rabbi says, this is like, you know, some people are Republicans, some people are Democrats, some people are communists, some are socialists, and some people do these things. So, what do you want? So I have an idea like this. This is what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? It pulls me this way. It's nothing I can do. So a person looks at certain things. He reads certain things. He looks at certain things on the computer. He looks at certain things. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to put my head in the ground. You're trying to make me into something that's not normal. So the Rebbe says, forget about that. Not only is that going to be that's going to be so silly, that you're not going to have your senses, your taivas, pulling you into that sheker of Olam HaTeroi and Geshem HaTamargish. Ragam chusheinu yikonu l'machsheves l'vaveinu. Our tachlis is to live lives where our chushim, our physical senses, become completely submissive and under the control of our thoughts, completely. Mayach shalot al halev, where the mind is completely, completely the balabas. V'gam heim yiru es kedushas Hashem prusa al kol hanimtza. And that even with our chushim, we're going to see only Hashem's presence everywhere. We're not going to be drawn to see those things, and we're not going to see things in such a way. I once mentioned to you that many years ago, I was a long time ago, maybe it must be already over 20 years ago. I was speaking at like this NCSY thing. I don't know. It was like, you know, they have all these different levels. It was national, galactical, whatever it's called. But I was speaking there in a gym up. It used to be called then Camp Tagola. Now it's called Camp Shira in the mountains. And I was speaking to a gym of like 500 teenagers. And like, you know, it was like almost a thousand rolling eyes when I walked in, you know, in my Shabbos Lavush. You know, like, oh no. And I was talking to this chavez. I ended up talking to him for like 3-4 hours, this chavez. And there was a boy there, there's a guy that he said, I was talking to them, I started talking about the problem with our taivas and the chushim and things like this, and the yitzhar, whatever, as part of the talk. And this boy said, well, I think that I'm no different than Rabbi Eichon. That's what this boy says. He stands up, he says, I'm no different than Rabbi Eichon. I said, what do you mean? You know, he went to yeshiva, this boy. He said, well, it says that when Rabbi Yochanan would stand outside, Rabbi Yochanan would stand outside the mikveh, right? And that the women, when they would come for the mikveh, so they should be able to see him, and that because he was very beautiful, and that the children would be, that they would have beautiful children. And when they asked Rabbi Yochanan, how could he do such a thing? So Rabbi Yochanan said that the women, they look to me like white geese. I don't see anything in them that's like that's anything bad. I only see like something pure, like a pure and holy thing. I don't see that. So everybody, all the kids in this place were laughing about that, and then he said, and then the boy said, and that's exactly what I see when I go to dirty movies. I only see white geese, and the whole island was laughing at this kid, and I liked what he said. They enjoyed it. So I said to him, whatever. I said, what's your name? I don't remember his name is. So, and he was like smirking, looking at everybody, this is it. He now has proven that Yiddishkeit is a mistake because of this comment. So I said to him, I said, look, when Rabbi Yochanan saw women coming from the mikveh, they looked to him like white geese.
when you look at white geese, you think of women. I said, that's the difference between you and Rabbi Yochanan. You understand? Now sit down, be quiet. That's a big chiluk. Every single thing. That's all you can think about. The Rebbe is saying here that a person is able to come to a point in his avodas Hashem where even the physical senses, the chushim, see kedushas Hashem everywhere. Kedushas Hashem. In everything in this world, they see kedushas Hashem. Prus al kol hanimsa, mamish covering, spreading out over all of existence, the person sees kedushas Hashem. The chushim, in other words, the chushim is like the malach ra, you know, that the bad malach has to answer amen to the good malach. A person who's in such control of himself comes to a point where even his physical senses are so naturally removed from impurity that all he is drawn to seeing, and all he wants to see, and all he looks at, are things that is kedushas Hashem everywhere. V'yede v'yir ha'adam. And such a person is able to see that in this world, he's mamish in this physical world, that this world itself is like a Gan Eden, and he's standing before the Kisei HaKavod, Hashem's throne, in this world. He sees that. How can we be zeichet to come to such an avodas Hashem? And he's saying, and all of us can come to this madrega, where in this world, it's like a Gan Eden standing before the Kisei HaKavod. In this world, ubameniskel avodas shleima kazu im lemitzar es ikvei hanaviim. He says, what we have to do is to follow the footsteps, to trace back, and to follow the ikvei hanaviim, the pathways and the footsteps of the prophets, of the mekubalim, with tzaddik ha-chassidus, nishaf lahakya. We have to learn to understand, to recognize, not just the beauty of their Torahs and the depth of their Torahs. We need to understand their way of serving Hashem. How did the Nevi'im serve Hashem? How did the mekubalim serve Hashem? How did the talmidim of Hashem? How did the tzaddikim? What was the derech ha-avayda? Not just to hear there's a beautiful verse from Kedushas Levi, a beautiful verse from the Chassam Sefer. How did the Chassam Sefer, how was he over Hashem? What was his way in serving Hashem? So we have to trace our way back. Se'ilach, as it says in the Pasuk, Be'ikveh Hatzayim. Go out. If you want to know what it means to be a Jew, go out and follow the pathways of the earlier ones, of the meaning of the flock, of the earlier tzaddikim. So al kalpanim is ikve kachem near. It's true, we're not on a madrega to understand who they really, really were. We can't understand. But the heel, ikve hatzayim, to at least have some sort of a hasaga of something of how the Nevi'im and the Mekubalim and the Tzaddikim, how they were over Hashem. Ubavak darkam, darkei Hashem nis'abek, that we should be able to at least something from the dust of their way. Like it says in Parak, have a misabik b'afraglein, that we should at least something epis something. Like the famous meister, when the Chayzer was coming back from Tashlich with thousands and thousands of people, the Chayzer from Lublin was coming back from Tashlich, and Rav Naftali Rabshisa was running to the river, and he was running there. So the Chayzer asked him, Naftali, where are you going? Everybody's coming back from Tashlich, and Naftali Rabshisa is going. So he says, I'm going to pick up the Rebbe's Aveiris. I want to get those. I want the Rebbe's Aveiris. Oh. But we have no Hasaga of the Chayzer's Aveiris. I mean the Chayzer's Aveiris. When the Chayzer was in Lublin, the whole city of Lublin put on their Shabbos clothing. All the stores were closed. The whole city of Lublin went out to greet the Baditshva Kedushas Levi. There was only one person that wasn't there, and that was the Chayzer, the leader of the whole city. The Chayzer from Lublin wasn't there, and they didn't know where he was. And when they came, they found him hiding in a closet in his house, shaking, hidden under coats in his closet.
He says, who am I to look at the face of the Kedusha Slavi of the Baditshva? How dare I even come to this? Everybody else was going like singing, Baruch Matan, Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem. And the Chayzer from Lublin was shaking his closet under some coats. I'm going to go to him. I'm going to stand in the presence of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditshva. I don't have a hasaga of the tzaddikim. But the Chayzer had a bigger hasaga than anybody else had of who the Beit Shiva was. Everybody else can go out and say Shalom Aleichem, you know, to the Beit Shiva. The Chayzer couldn't move. The Chayzer couldn't get out of the closet, because he understood. He knew the schayer what a Beit Shiva was. People, regular people, don't have such a hasaga. But at least if we see a little bit. So then he says, I'll call upon him as Ikle Kotchum. Let's finish this paragraph. Ubaavak darkam darcha Hashem nisabik afel kerbeinu nivla, that we should be able to at least absorb some of the avak, some of the dust of their ways, the end of their ways. Mahu ekev. So let's say we can't understand the pnimius of these people, but what's the whole tumult about the ekev? Let's understand the kedusha of the ekev, of their heels. And how can we use their ways to train ourselves, bochrim and young men who are seeking, who are truly seeking not just to wear the clothing and the hats and so on, but to be a chassid, to really be a chassid of Hashem. I will continue next time.